You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to Locked On College Football. So excited to have you joining me once again. It is Monday, so you have me, Candace Cooper, host of Locked On Tar Heels podcast, leading this talented team. Do yourself a favor, make sure you download and subscribe to Locked On College Football from anywhere. You can also follow us on social now, Locked On College Football. We are excited to have an account and share all of our quality content with you, so make sure you do that. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So here's what I have on tap for you today. It is a brand new year, and we have some great teams to talk about as the college football playoff semifinals games went down. So you're going to hear from all four of your favorite local hosts talking about their respective teams. That's right. Every single person is going to break down what their team did good or what their team kind of couldn't get right. And it's unfortunate, but hey, two teams got to go to the national championship, and we have two teams on our plate. So let's get right into it. So again, happy new year. Hope you guys are taking care of yourself. You've wrote down your resolutions. You've held about three of them already. If you have a couple that you let loose, if you had, you know, your Coors Light, it's fine. I get it. It's been a long 2020, but I'm certainly glad to have you guys rock with me once again in the new year, rocking with our talented group. Now, the bowl games, recapping those a little bit. It was exciting. Some were a little boring. Big 12s had some great games. ACC, not so much, right? The SEC held it down, okay? It was just a lot of mixed emotions, a lot of opt-outs, you know, a lot of guys showing themselves, the young talent out there. It was overall, you know, a good experience to pass the time as you're getting from Christmas to the new year. Sometimes you figure out, what should I do? Hey, there was plenty of college football to enjoy nonetheless. But let's get into those college football semifinal games, right? We are going to hear from our two teams first who came up short. Let's first start off with Locked On Irish host Joe DeLeon, who's going to talk to me about the Fighting Irish. I feel like, you know, everyone kind of counted Notre Dame out. They held their own. When I was a Bet Online at AG, I was thinking that they weren't going to cover the spread, and they did. But, you know, that's another story for another day, right? I want to hear from Joe. Let's take a listen to how he thought that Fighting Irish did in the 2020 College Football Playoffs National Championship semifinal game.
Friday afternoon on New Year's Day was, frankly, a difficult one for Notre Dame football fans. A day that I think many people were excited about moving on from 2020 and heading into a brand new year, forgetting all of the nonsense that happened in the past. But instead, alas, it was a game where Notre Dame felt like they just did not come to play. And one of the things that I felt from this performance, a 31-14 loss to Alabama, it was eerily similar to Notre Dame's loss to Clemson in the playoff a few years back. Back when they lost to Clemson, lost by a strong margin, but for a really strong period of time, even though they were getting beaten badly, even though that they were clearly never in a position to come back, they weren't that far out of the game. It was a couple plays away. That was the sentiment after that game. And that for me is the similar sentiment after this Alabama game. It didn't really feel like they were completely out of it until towards the end of the third quarter. There were times where they were in spots to possibly come back into the game. Ian Book threw a crucial interception that was on a strong drive in the third quarter that could have put the game at 21-14. Ultimately, that interception killed them and the rest of their momentum. This game was very, very difficult to observe and watch because they did exactly what they've done to other teams the entire season. Alabama ran consistently with Najee Harris, who then was able to set up a passing attack facilitated by Mac Jones and Devonta Smith. The success on the ground, which is something that we talked about a ton coming into the game. Can you slow down Najee Harris? And if you do, you can possibly slow down their passing attack. And Najee had a really easy time running the ball. I think the epitomization of how easy of a time he had running was the hurdle he had over Nick McCloud. Completely jumping out of the way of Notre Dame defenders was exactly what he did the entire day. 7-yard pickups, 9-yard pickups. Because Notre Dame was on their heels trying to stop the run, they were just not going to slow down any of the other parts of Alabama's offense, especially when you had young defensive backs trying to cover the best football player at the NCAA level right now in Devonta Smith. And we actually did see a couple points, if we're being realistic. We saw a couple spots where they actually did, and it was only a few drives. It's not like I can say this was consistent throughout, but on a few different drives, you saw them slow down Najee Harris a little bit, enough to put this Alabama offense in third and long, third and five and longer. And when Alabama was in those spots, we clearly saw that they weren't really built to work themselves out of those situations. And the biggest issue, and I think the biggest reason why Notre Dame struggled in this game, and the reason why they ended up losing the way that they did by that many points, by 17 points, is you were only going to get two drives like that, which is what they had. You were only going to get two drives where you stopped Alabama's offense and got yourself the ball back. You were not going to keep Alabama to possibly 20 points. They were going to score over 30 points no matter what. But because they didn't take advantage of those stops and score on those various drives and didn't score on their first two drives in the game, they immediately put themselves in a position where they could not dig themselves out of a hole. So disappointing game, a performance that had a lot left to be desired, a lot where you felt that if Notre Dame just did a little bit more, or if they had a better matchup here, or if they had some more talent at defensive back, the game could have quite possibly been closer. But again, we see what we've consistently seen every time Notre Dame steps into these important games. The performances we saw way before early in the year, when those games didn't matter as much, were still important. Those games, the performances we saw, the defensive performances we saw, did not translate into the two most important games of the year, the ACC championship game and the first round of the college football playoff, which was the Rose Bowl. The same thing over and over again. The same thing that we've seen for the past decade or more. And now heading into next season, we need to start asking ourselves, is this going to be what our future is for the remaining time that Brian Kelly is here?
Now listen, Joe coming with some straight heat there. Can Brian Kelly actually be what, you know, on paper they're supposed to be? Can he actually come through and win them a major game, right? They've done excellent. They've had 10-win seasons, 11-win seasons, all that great stuff. But can they take it to the next level and win an ACC championship if they decide to stay in the ACC? Can they win a college football playoff semifinal game and then go on to win a national championship game? Those are the questions that you really have to ask yourself if you are the Fighting Irish. And I'm certainly sure they are asking those questions in this offseason. Now let's jump to Lock on Clemson host Ellis Tolbert, who's going to talk to me about the Tigers and what a game it was. Not what anybody expected, but hats off again, right, to the Buckeyes. So let's listen to Ellis's take on a semifinal game number two.
What's up, guys? It's Ellis from Locked On Clemson, and what a disappointing way to end the 2020 season. A very strange, a very odd season for the Tigers. Of course, we know we were defeated 49-28 in the Sugar Bowl in a game that looked like we were in control for about 2 minutes. Now we know that the Ohio State Buckeyes will advance and take on the Alabama Crimson Tide in the national championship in just a week or so. So for us, it's time for us to just pack it in and get ready for 2021. There's a lot of stuff that went into this game, a lot of storylines. Of course, Clemson is now 0-3 in the Sugar Bowl under Dabo Swinney, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand to say, I don't think we should ever play this game again. We've been blown out in all three appearances. Just not good stuff. The Tigers also had some glaring deficiencies on both sides of the ball, things that they're going to have to shore up in this offseason. It's going to be imperative if they want to continue playing big boy football. But let me say this first. The sky is not falling. Clemson isn't going anywhere. They'll likely be back in the playoffs, getting ready to play again next year, and they have the tools to do so. But they will be losing Trevor Lawrence. He's going to end his career at Clemson, I'm sure, at 34-2. You're also going to lose Travis Etienne, the best running back in ACC history and the best running back in Clemson history. How do you rebuild from that? Where you go there? I think Clemson has a fine young quarterback waiting in tow. They also have some really good running backs that are ready to step up. But this offensive line has to get better. They got worked in this game, and so did the defensive line. Secondary as well had no chance against these guys. In a small way, I'm kind of not feeling so bad about it, because had we somehow ended up coming back and beating Ohio State, there is zero chance that we would have beaten Alabama with a defensive performance like that. But on the other hand, this Clemson team is known for resolve. Can they get back after it? I think they will, and all will be well going forward. But losing hurts, and you got to deal with it. Now we got to take this L for about another 6 months, and we're going to be hearing about Dabo's ranking them 11th for the longest time and being the man that he is. But I do think that Clemson got a little bit of a lesson there. Just humble yourself and get ready to play for the playoffs next season. That's kind of a weird disconnect. I do think on some hands, Clemson was just not prepared for Ohio State, whereas Ohio State, like I said, was already ready for this game last year. Can they make up for it starting game one? You're going to be taking on the Georgia Bulldogs. Are they going to be your sacrificial lamb for the next season? I hope so, and I think so. All in. Let's go.
Short and sweet and to the point. I like that. I appreciate a guy who says, listen, Clemson's not going anywhere. It was a bad game. You got to take your L. Got a little bit bigger than your britches, but the offensive line and defensive lines will certainly improve, and they'll be under a new quarterback. They'll have, you know, a couple great running backs in the backfield too. I mean, they're reloading. It's not an Alabama type reloading, but it's reloading nonetheless. So hopefully Clemson can avoid the Sugar Bowl and they can just try to get back into the college football final conversation next year. But make sure you guys are geared up to listen to Ellis and Joe and their respective shows, Locked On Irish, Locked On Clemson, available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Appreciate those guys for giving me their quick hits about their respective teams. Now, speaking of quick hits, if you guys are preparing for the National College Football Championship game, you know that all money in, no money out, right? And you can only do that at the place that I have grown to really trust, and that is BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the only place I trust, because you can sign up today, get a free account, and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. It's so easy, so user-friendly. It is just, you know, put my money in, win some, lose some, keep it pushing, right? So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports experts. Now, 2020 is mercifully over. Thank the Lord. It's time to refresh and start new. Got a few more wins to give you. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Now, we got the first team heading into the National College Football Playoff Championship game. The Locked On Bama host Luke Robinson joins me to talk, gosh, the Crimson Tide. Who would have thought, I don't know, everyone, that the Crimson Tide would be back in the building, ready to get another championship. Nick Saban and company are playing no games, and we saw clear as day, Devontae Smith is that dude. Let's take a listen to Luke's recap of the semifinal game.
Hey everybody, it's Luke Robinson with Locked On Bama. Thanks for tuning in, and appreciate all of our loyal listeners. But want to say another huge win for Alabama in the college football playoffs. They will move on, obviously, to play the Ohio State Buckeyes, a game that is a rematch of the first ever playoffs where Alabama lost to Ohio State by 7 in 2014. But we'll talk about that a little later. For now, I want to talk about the game with Notre Dame. Obviously, Alabama was in control of this one early. It was pretty clear that while Notre Dame has gotten better along both lines, they just didn't have the skill players to match up with the Crimson Tide. In fact, I'd say what I took away from the game is you can have a quarterback like Ian Book who is really good. He's gutty. He's gritty. He's a winner. He's got a lot of heart. But what he doesn't have is NFL ability, in my opinion. And I think that was one of the huge separators. That and, of course, the skill positions, where Alabama just had so much more speed than Notre Dame had. And as I said on our podcast, it seems like Notre Dame's about 4 to 6 years behind. Whereas the last time Alabama and Notre Dame met, I think the difference was more along the lines. Well, the game has evolved now. And it seems like instead of having a lot of ball control and defense, you've got to be able to outscore people. You've got to be able to put a lot of points on the board. And Notre Dame just was not able to do that. Mac Jones was incredibly efficient again, 25 of 30 for almost 300 yards with 4 touchdowns, 3 of those obviously to Devontae Smith, who I think made it quite clear he should be the Heisman winner. And Najee Harris, man, I think he made it quite clear he should be the Doak Walker winner. So Alabama really flexed its muscles from its big three. Defensively, there were some miscues that I think Alabama's going to have to clean up before they face off against Ohio State. Obviously, the passing to the tight end is a problem because it seemed like Dylan Moses had an issue covering the tight end from time to time. But overall, the defense still only surrendered 14 points, and 7 of those came after Notre Dame decided to go for it instead of punt. Alabama really did have them stopped, and it was late in the game, and it was one of those things that didn't matter much. So I feel like the defense played pretty well, but this Notre Dame offense is nothing like the offense Alabama will see when they take on Ohio State. That team is incredibly well-equipped to beat Alabama. And even though the betonline.ag line is Alabama -7.5 to 8, I think that this game is going to be very, very close. I'm looking forward to going to Miami to check the game out, and can't wait to give more reports on all the practices and then, of course, the outcome of the game in about a week. Be sure to check out Locked On Bama, everybody, and thanks for listening.
I love how low-key and vibing out Luke was, right? When you know your team is the best, you don't really have to put much out there. Listen, at the end of the day, Alabama got it done. It'll be a recap of that 2014 matchup, and I'm excited to see Alabama in this next team with my guy, Jay Stevens. I am super pumped to hear his take on Locked On Buckeyes. Man, I'm sure he's got you Buckeyes fans just super excited, if not just really throwing it in there about how great this Buckeyes team came back from all of the doubters, all the haters, all the 6-game only, all the COVID-21 day protocol, all of that. He came back in there and let y'all know what was up from start to finish. So let's take a listen to how Locked On Buckeyes host Jay Stevens dropped the mic.
We're going to the ship. We're going to the ship. What? Hold on. Ooh, my bad, y'all. Hold on. Ooh, I didn't realize that the mic was hot. The Buckeyes, 49. The Tigers of Clemson, 28. And the Ohio State Buckeyes are moving on to the national championship to face the Alabama Crimson Tide. Yeah, you guys may be wondering, Jay, are you always this excited? Well, yes, but I may be a little bit more hype than normal simply because of the way the Buckeyes played against the Clemson Tigers. The buildup going into this game was a little bit different. The level of anxiety that I'm sure many people felt going into this game was a little bit different. The preparation by the players and the coaches alike was a little bit different in this game, and it showed during the game as well. Early in the game, 14-14 early on, there's blow after blow after blow after blow after blow, and you're wondering whose will is going to be broken first. The Buckeyes ended up going up 21-14, start moving the ball again in the latter part of the second quarter, and then things got a little bit interesting. Fields drops back to pass. Nobody's open. He's about to get sacked. Instead of just taking a sack and throwing the ball away, he eludes that, breaks out the pocket, scrambles, goes right up the middle, first down, and then that boy gets popped. James Skalski over the middle, pops Justin Fields. Looked like he broke that boy in half. And myself, maybe you if you're watching the game, maybe a fan, or I'm sure the coaches, everyone's wondering, will Fields be okay? Because you all know, if Justin's not on the field, if Justin Fields is not quarterbacking this team, the offense and the team will be ran different. Fields misses one play. Skalski gets a flag for targeting. He gets ejected. C.J. Stroud, a freshman, comes in the very next play. Hands the ball off to who I believe is Trey Sermon. And then the very next play, Fields comes back in, and you're wondering, is he going to run? Is he going to throw? What kind of offensive set, what kind of play will they call right now? It's second and goal. Stroud came in on first and goal. Second and goal on the 9-yard line. 5:18 left at the snap of the ball. Fields drops back, rolls right, throws the ball to Chris Olave, who runs a phenomenal route, who I believe he got that route from Brian Hartline. It's a route that Brian Hartline ran in the NFL for a touchdown in the same area of the end zone as Chris Olave caught his touchdown pass. Now, the ball from Fields was not the prettiest pass in the world, but ball from Fields thrown to Olave, boom, boom, touchdown once again. The Buckeyes go up another score, and it sure seemed like the Buckeyes would be in control of this game. We all saw later on in the game, I believe it was the third quarter, that 60-plus yard touchdown pass, a beautiful thrown ball, a ball that I didn't even know that Justin Fields could throw like this, especially when he's down and when he's hurt. But, hey, big games call from big plays no matter how you are feeling. 49-28, Buckeyes move on to face Alabama, a team that they beat in the Sugar Bowl the last time the Buckeyes won the national championship, which happened to be the very first college football playoff national championship game. To hear more about the Ohio State Buckeyes winning the Sugar Bowl or anything else about the Ohio State Buckeyes, search Locked On Buckeyes on your favorite podcast listening platform and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.
I mean, seriously, how do you not love and feed off of Jay's energy? The Buckeyes just got it done from start to finish, had a different mentality. Justin Fields was playing regardless of a few cracked ribs. You know, cool, whatever I got to do to hold it down for my squad, and that's exactly what he did. Now we get to see Bama versus Buckeyes in the championship game on January 11th. I am thrilled about it. It'll be the day after my birthday, so I'll be celebrating all January. So if you feel like dropping me, you know, a like or subscribe, download and all that good stuff, Locked On College Football is all that I need from you, right? So there's that. One thing I also need from you, it's to get you locked in with Built Bar. Now, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, right? It has 18 amazing flavors. It is great and 100% covered in chocolate. You cannot beat that. Plus, it's soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is so key for people who are trying to get back right for the new year. You're trying to get on your, you know, new year, new me vibes. Got to get in on this Built Bar, right? You can lose or maintain weight while enjoying a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. My three of choice would have to be cookies and cream, caramel brownie, of course, and mint brownie. Love those. Have them in my heavy rotation. Make sure you get Built Bar by going to builtbar.com and using promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So again, use promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at builtbar.com. So that wraps up today's show. Make sure you guys tune into Locked On Irish, Locked On Clemson, Locked On Bama, Locked On Buckeyes. All of our great hosts, thank you so much for joining me today, giving your recaps of the semifinal college football playoff games. I am certainly excited to see this championship go down, right? It's going to be a great matchup. We haven't seen these two compete since 2014. Hey, what a better time as ever. 7 is the year of completion. Can Ohio State get it done? I'm feeling like maybe. Or is it going to be Bama and their killer players that they, I mean, it's a different level of greatness out there on the field if you've been tuning into football all season. And as we look forward into the new year, make sure you guys download, subscribe to Locked On College Football as we recap our respective teams from around the country. They're going to give a recap of their seasons, more importantly, how they're looking forward to some of their recruits coming in and a couple other guys that they have going into draft day. What can we talk and highlight about those? Because we all know we're excited again to see some of these guys take it to the next level. I hope you guys stay smart and safe out there. Make sure you're wearing your mask still. And I hope you sincerely, you have a happy Monday.